Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 306. And my guest today, offering her dream for us to explore and interpret, and then sharing her story as our conversation flows, is certified clinical EFT practitioner and mentor, Faye Chan. Based in Melbourne, Australia, Faye is a certified EFT practitioner, coach, and mentor with EFT Universe. She's also a published author and recently featured in Australian mainstream articles Kidspot and Body and Soul. Her work stretches across multiple clients from children to adults, helping them alleviate angst, physical sensations caused by strong emotions, anxiety, stress, and trauma. And she helps them by rewiring subconscious blocks, allowing freedom and ease to create new possibilities and results. So first up, Faye shares her dream for us to explore and interpret, and then we flow on to a conversation that embraces her life and her work, how she works, how EFT works, some of the cases, and other little side conversations about dreams and EFT that we enjoy. As you know, if you're a regular listener, I ask my guests to tell me nothing about the dream they choose until we start recording, as I know you enjoy unravelling the mystery alongside me. Now, exploring a dream with a guest on the podcast is a relatively light process compared to my private work with clients. On the podcast, we pick out some highlights, hint at some dream interpretation tips, and cover and discover insights that feel safe and appropriate to share in public. Whereas if you consult me privately, we go deeply into your dream, uncover everything you need to know, relate it to your life, and if you wish, apply dream alchemy processes to shift beliefs and patterns that are limiting or blocking you, to move you past stuck, to see solutions to problems, and generally get inspired about your next steps. So to find out more about my services and courses, go to janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And the direct links are in the show notes. So also a reminder that you can now watch The Dream Show on my YouTube channel. Enough of an introduction. Let's go to Melbourne and meet Faye. Hello, Faye. Welcome to The Dream Show.
Hello, Jane. I am well. How are you?
I'm really well. We're not far apart. We're just across the water. I'm in Hobart. You're in Melbourne.
Yes. Across the Bass Strait, isn't it?
Yeah. Across the Bass Strait. Have you always lived in Melbourne?
Yeah, we migrated here when I was 9 years old. So I've called Melbourne home since.
That's really lovely. And we're both plunged in the middle of winter for our international listeners.
Yes, woolly jumpers.
Woolly jumpers, heaters on.
Yeah.
Let's get straight into your dream. I've got no idea what you've got for me, so I'm ready to take notes.
Okay. The dream involves my ex and my husband. Okay. And so initially it felt like I was in a professional context, in a meeting, sort of like a town hall meeting, but it was quite casual. And then there's a bench. On the bench, my ex was sat down, but I was there with my husband, right? And it felt like I was standing there with my husband whilst having a chat to the ex. And my surname came up. So my surname's Chan, C-H-A-N, but in a different dialect called Hokkien. It's Tan, T-A-N. And that became a topic of conversation. I'm like, did you know my surname in Hokkien is Tan rather than Chan? Right? I'm just like, okay. And then so we're having a conversation, and then my dream transports me to like a South Melbourne marketplace. And I'm buying Tan honey. So the label's Tan. It's a massive bucket of honey with the yellow top. You know, the buckets
yes,
you get
yes.
at the shops. Yep. And it probably was like, you know, a 5 kilogram bucket of honey with my surname on it, Tan, right? Don't know why. And then we walked past this market where I bought the honey. We walked past into a gallery And the gallery's part of the markets. It's like they've got partition walls and they've put pictures up there. And then somehow there was biltong being sold in front of this gallery. And the biltong was made by a Michael someone, don't know, but the meat is MGO. I don't know what MGO stands for. Meat is MGO. And then the next scene is really strange. I hop onto a cargo plane.
Oh, yeah, just like that.
Yeah. And on the left were people sparsely placed in front of windows. So seat, 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 right? So the single file seat, but quite sparse because it's a cargo plane. And then on the opposite side were traveling coffins.
Traveling coffins, yes.
And one of the coffins, I wrote, yeah, on the left was people sparsely placed from window to window, then opposite traveling coffins, and one was open and an Asian lady sat up on it. It felt like the Asian lady was waiting to die, so she was sat up waiting. Mm. And then I received news of a client's husband dying, and I wanted to reach out to my client to send my condolences. And then I wake up.
Oh, how did you feel when you woke up?
I was discombobulated going, it wasn't the initial scene with the ex and then my husband and then the honey and then the biltong with the gallery. It was the cargo plane with the coffins.
Yes.
Felt really normal inside the dream. That's like, oh, there's this coffins there, there's this one lady sitting up and she's waiting to die, and I received news that one of my client's husbands is dead and I wanted to send her condolences because I've been working with her since the start of COVID.
Right, okay.
And then I wake up.
So that client you've been working with since the start of COVID, you were still – well, when was the dream, first of all?
This was mid-April.
Mid-April, so we're recording this in June, so a couple of months ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that client still an active client of yours at the time of the dream?
Yes. Every now and then. Now she just reaches out sporadically. Hi, Faye, can I have a session?
Right, okay.
And then I won't see her for a few months. Hi, Faye, can I have a session?
Yeah.
Won't see her a few months, and it'll be like, hi, Faye, can my daughter have a session with you? Like, it's one of those clients. Yeah.
And if you think about that client and you either think about the kind of work you do with her or you think about her personality, what are your associations with her?
She's very quite anxious, over analytical, always wants to work things out.
Yeah.
And lately, actually, like, she's been really courageous in making major decisions in her life.
Yeah, I can see that. I know we're starting at a funny end of the dream, but I just wanted to plunge in there. So it's possible that because what I'm hearing is that she was over analytical, for example, and when we look at right and left in a dream, it can be a little bit like right and left in the body or right and left in the brain.
Yes.
So the right can be. Let me just think about it. There's a crossover from the brain to the body. So basically the right side of our body is often how we are in the outer world and the left side of the body can be how we are in the inner world.
Right.
It can be vice versa if we're left-handed. So we're not sure which one is for you or for her, but you've got that imbalance in the cargo plane, haven't you? You've got the kind of sparse on the left and peopled, people who are alive, by the way.
Yes, and left people were alive, yeah.
And on the right, they were either dead or about to die, or you're receiving news about dying. So there's a kind of, there's a mismatch between your inner world and your outer world at the time of the dream. One part, so the inner world, which is possibly on the left, it depends, it's different from different people, has is kind of peopled and sparse, but peopled. And the inner world on the outer world on the right is kind of possibly either dead or dying or in flux, you know, because we have to have death in order to have birth. It's a really important part of change.
Yes.
So there's a sense that there may have been a sense of impending change at the time of the dream. So for that particular client to come up, because she's also over analytical, or you see as anxious and over analytical, would you say she's the kind of person that is resistant to change herself?
She's more scared of taking the action. That's why I know that in the last couple of months she's actually been really quite courageous in making major decisions that actually back her, rather than back what mainstream culture would like.
Yeah. That's absolutely brilliant. So she's going through a courageous death and rebirth herself. And because she's also over analytical, this dream may suggest that at the time of the dream, you might have been being either over analytical about your situation, the changes that you wanted to bring in your life, or were aware that you've got an over analytical shadow and you're like on the other side of that going, no, I'm going to be intuitive about this. That's kind of the end. Do you have any idea where the cargo plane was going?
No.
No.
I was just on the cargo plane.
Was its purpose, did you have the feeling its purpose was to cargo the coffins, or was there other stuff in it?
Yeah, I think the purpose was to cargo the coffins. I don't know where it was going. And then there were seats on the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting with the seats on the left, you know, I'm also thinking, because dreams sometimes have a little bit of wordplay, what's left? You know, if I make the changes, make these changes that I'm thinking about making, what am I left with? And it feels a bit sparse. And yet you're on a plane, so you are actually going somewhere. There's some sense of direction. You don't know what it is in the dream, but the sense, I'm going somewhere.
Yes.
I'm considering changes. It's going to be changes that involve death of a few things.
Yep.
And I'm a bit concerned if I let go of those things. I know there's new things I want to bring into my life, but will it be a bit sparse? Because you didn't describe the plane as, oh, there were loads of seats. You know, there's lots of space. No. It wasn't the sense of there'd be this new spaciousness in my life. It was like, oh, it's a bit sparse.
Yeah, it's a big cargo plane, it was double-decker coffins on the right-hand side, and then sparse. Seats that's dotted where the windows are.
So, gosh, loads and loads of things to change if there's that many coffins as well. Double decker. So we are going to look
at it. As in one stacked on top of the other.
Yeah.
Like on a metal frame.
So almost, and it's interesting, the metal frame, because again, going back to the possible plays on words and dreams, a metal frame could be a kind of mental frame. There's this mental framework I've got, and there's this thing stacked upon this thing, all these things stacked upon each other, ideas, concepts, whatever it is that I'm thinking of letting go and and getting somewhere else and making a change. So if we go back, you know, you're nodding like you're sort of relating to this, but I want to go back to the beginning of the dream. Is there anything you want to say at this moment?
No, this is really interesting. Never thought of it as a left and right.
Yeah.
But now it makes sense. Yeah.
It's funny because left and right can also mean other things, you know. Right means can mean correct, whether or not it is correct, and left can be left over.
Oh, got it. Yeah. It just depends on the interpretation,
But let's go to the start of the dream, because the start of the dream often brings up the issue or question or problem that the rest of the dream is trying to address. So at the start of the dream, you're in a town hall, casual town hall.
Casual town hall type of work meeting.
Do you actually have work meetings in town halls yourself?
No. I haven't been in the corporate world for long time.
Yeah. And when you were in the corporate world, was that when you were with your ex?
No, not at all.
Before that?
After that,
okay.
Yeah. I was working at a personal development company.
Yeah.
And that's where I met both of them. So I met my ex there. I met my husband there too.
Right, okay. So that's kind of explains why they're both there at the start of the dream.
In that professional context.
So it may be that your dream is saying, you know, because our dreams are processing what we've been through in the last one or two days to try to update our mindset, make sense of our world. But in that processing, they will refer back to our past. What was happening for you yesterday, particularly your unconscious mind will go, yeah, well, that kind of relates back to when. So let's just go back and have a look at that.
Oh, right. Okay.
So whatever you were experiencing the one or two days consciously and unconsciously before this dream, your dreaming mind's going, yeah, that kind of takes me back to when I was working with that personal development company and or when I met both my ex and my husband.
Got it.
So there's something rooted in those days and the experiences back then, which has brought up the issue which this dream is going to process.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And in the dream, I liked that it was casual, so that was good. And that actually is quite an interesting contrast, isn't it, between your possibly over-analytical client or thoughts of being over-analytical and casual. So, you know, it's possible that the dream might be looking at on a continuum, what am I doing with ultra casual on one side and over analytical on the other side? Where am I finding my balance?
Right.
Could be, might be, yeah. So when you had the two husbands there, husband and ex-husband, I'm just looking at the notes that I took. In the dream, which one did you feel most connected to, as in the conversation or the emotion?
The ex, because I was having the conversation about my surname with him.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And hubby was privy to it, like we were there all having conversing, but the topic was about that and I was conversing with the ex.
Yeah. So you're going back in your dream, not actually to converse with your ex, but to go back and converse perhaps with the part of yourself when you were with your ex back in those days. You're looking at who you were back in those days, as well as perhaps, you know, what he represented to you.
Right. Okay.
And you've got the question mark of your surname. So have you always called yourself Chan, or were there times when you called yourself Tan?
No, Chan. Because so Chan's the Cantonese version.
Yeah.
So the Mandarin version will be Chen, C-H-E-N. So it's always been Chan through life. And if you meet another person with a surname Tan, T-A-N, that's from South China, Southeast Asia, it's the same character. It's the same Chinese character.
Yes.
It's just
pronounced differently
in that dialect.
Right. So the dream brought up that question. Because, particularly because you went on and bought the tan honey, bought on that kind of question of a different identity. I mean, you know, just taking a plunge, people from South China, how different from you?
How different are they from me?
Yeah, culturally, business-wise.
Probably quite different. Not because they're from South China, but because I'm so westernised as an Asian.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering why the reference to them came up in the dream with the tan.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it was odd. And then buying the honey with the tan label on it.
Yes, yeah.
And it was a massive bucket of honey.
Do you know anyone by the surname pronounced Tan here?
No, I don't know anyone by the name, but I know a person by the first name as Tan.
Right, okay.
And he's Vietnamese-Chinese. And he was a colleague way back when in my corporate days.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And how would you describe him, his personality or approach to life or the way that he worked?
He's certainly a can-do character, quite funny. Very straightforward. He was just fun to hang out with.
Right, okay.
I remember him being quite fun to hang out with. And it was like, this is going back to, 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah, so long time ago.
Was living with your ex ever fun?
Never lived with him. but the time that we were together, it was great.
Yeah, okay. So there are many possible associations with tan there. And one,
right.
Because when we're talking about a dream and a person brings up another thing, so you brought up the fact of working with Tan, someone whose first name is Tan, that can often actually be connected because your unconscious mind is joining in the interpretation
right.
of the dream.
Yeah, but his surname's not Tan.
No, it doesn't matter. He's
oh,
it's
okay.
The name of Tan, yeah. So
he may
or may not represent the essence of, as you said, straightforward and fun, maybe
yes.
in comparison to over analytical and not feeling fun sometimes. So that's one possibility, but the essence of the beginning is questioning your surname, questioning your identity.
Okay.
So the beginning
okay.
of the dream takes back, okay, whatever happened in the one or two days before the dream has taken me back to a time in my life where I had a corporate identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now questioning, or the question of my identity is coming up at this point in my life where I'm considering making some big changes.
Right, I see.
Right, yeah.
And then therefore the coffins, right?
Yes, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and one of the first things I'm going to do is maybe buy a big 5-kilogram container of honey.
Honey!
So what does honey, do you like honey? Tell me about honey.
I love honey. I have honey in my tea every day.
Do you? Yeah.
Yes.
So what does it mean to you?
Oh, it's just a sweetness. It's the nectar of life.
Yes, the nectar of life.
Yeah, honey is obviously natural. And I like how with, depending on the area you buy it from, the different colours of the yellow.
Yes.
You know, and also the bees that work so hard just to create honey.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, there's all these, if we were to get rid of bees, everything would go.
Yes.
So it's almost like the source of life.
Yeah, that's beautifully described, Faye.
Yeah.
So this lovely honey in the dream means so much to you across so many areas of your life, and it's the source of life. Absolute source of life, and underpinning it is the question of if the bees go, the honey goes, everything goes, the world goes.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is another way of looking at change. If I make a change, I want to make sure it's a good change.
Aha. Uh-huh, so right.
And also the fact that you appreciate the different colours of honey according to where the bees have collected the pollens and from.
Mm-hmm.
And you particularly selected tan honey in the dream, so you were looking at the origin, you were interested in the origin of the of what you were buying into
right.
there. Yeah,
yeah.
So, you know, my guess at that is that the beginning of the dream is this question of my identity, particularly around work, because we started in a corporate area, and
yes.
you make a choice for something which is, I want my identity be connected with the nectar of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. With something that has a sweetness around it.
Mm-hmm.
With something that has, I acknowledge that I will be putting an enormous amount of energy into it, or getting other people to help me, like the bees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really the way that I want to go. And how I will be seen in that, people will see through the colour of the honey. People will see through the colour of my work, what it is that I do.
Okay.
And that's maybe where the shift of the question of identity at the beginning is we can, you know, particularly in business, if we make changes, we can be questioning, well, do I shift my identity in some way? And the dream is saying, well, you know, the colour will shine through.
Perfect. Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's really lovely. So looking at my notes as to where we went from there. So you then went to the gallery, which was part of the markets. But it had
part of the market.
Pictures.
It was just like a partitioned wall that was part of one of the shops that people just hang the paintings on, right? But it was gallery-like.
And what's your association with paintings, pictures? Nothing.
Not really. Just not really. There's no association with them.
So in the dream, it was a place where people hang pictures. Finish the sentence. People hang pictures
To showcase their creativity.
Yes. So the next part of the dream then is, so if I'm considering the changes that I'm making in my life or my business, whatever it is, how do I showcase my creativity? Or I'm already showcasing my creativity because it's in the dream.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at that. And what comes up is the biltong.
I know.
Talk to me about biltong.
Well, it's just a snack that's high in protein. Depends on how much sugar content's in it. It's potentially really quite healthy for you as a snack. And it's just dried meat. So we have it, my husband and my son plays a lot of golf, so usually it's biltong in the little esky bag, because it's a good snack to walk around with. We buy biltong regularly.
So you buy it regularly. It's a snack. It keeps you going.
Yeah.
And it's really good because it's protein. But this particular biltong was, I wrote down Michael MGO. Was it Michael that sold the biltong?
It was made by a guy called Michael. and it had MGO on it. I don't know what MGO means.
Yeah.
It's not GMO, as in like genetically modified. It's MGO.
MGO. And it's not NGO either. No. It's MGO.
M for Molly.
Yeah.
MGO.
MGO, MGO, MGO. I'm just saying it fast to see if another word comes from it, MGO, but I can't hear one.
No.
When you said it, my first thought, I heard that you said M when you told the dream, but my first thought was it's like NGO, which is, a non-profit business, isn't it? Yeah. So there may or may not be an allusion to that there about how much do I want my work to, because this is built on, to sustain some kind of give back charity support kind of thing initiative. Okay. May or may not be in there. What kind of name is Michael? Do you know any Michaels? What does Michael mean to you?
I don't know any Michaels. It's just, well, Archangel Michael. That comes to mind, but I don't know any Michaels. I'm not tapping with any Michaels right now.
It's the first thing that came to mind was great Archangel Michael. So talk to me about Archangel Michael.
Well, he's got a very avenging spirit about him, hasn't he?
Yes.
And I'm just remembering there's a church in north of New York towards Staten Island, I think. It's outside Columbia University. There's a cathedral there. And I remember walking past that statue of Michael. He's got his sword. He's got the world. He's cut the serpent's head. He's got his wings out. I think his feet's on top of the – of. Anyway, there's a fight between Michael and I don't know, the devil, the whoever.
Yeah.
And he's there and he's the victor in this, and he's I think he's chopped the serpent's head, I think. So that image, because I was really quite enamored by that statue of him. I took several pictures when I was there.
Yeah.
Back in 2010.
Wow.
So I spent 6 weeks in New York just by myself.
I wonder whether that was relevant to the dream, the fact that you spent the 6 weeks in New York. Was that a significant period in your life?
Yeah, I had just left that company and I needed a break, and my brother was working in New York at that time. And I went, okay, I'm coming over.
Great.
And so I wasn't staying with him. I was staying with it was during some midterm breaks or summer break or whatever break they have over there. And he managed to get me two or three apartments where I could stay for free, house sitting such as, like, and I stayed in three or four different places in New York. So I got to discover, like, different.
Oh, yes.
It was great. I loved it. And you can never, like, I spent 6 weeks there. I could have easily stayed years and not discover a lot of New York. But it was great.
And when you came out of that, because you'd left the corporate world before you went there, was that also a period of deciding what to do next?
Yeah, that was really shaky ground for me back then.
So creating...
I didn't know what to do next. like the training at that personal development company is second to none. And the only, well, I would attribute my consistency and discipline, not that I wasn't already that sort of personality, I am, yeah. but the courage for me to carry on in business has come from that training.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the courage to continue in business came from that training, and you've already referenced your client who's currently having the courage to move on to the next thing as well.
Yes.
And that 6 weeks in New York when you were enamored with the statue of Archangel Michael was a time of great discovery, but but there was also a lot more to discover that you didn't get round to because you were only there for 6 weeks.
Yes.
So it's possible that Michael's biltong in your dream is because the biltong you associate with something that gives you stamina and gives you, you know, feeds you and is nourishing.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's this relation to some kind of avenging spirit or overcoming spirit or discovery, and also relating back to that time in New York. With, so I've got coffins going on because I'm opening to something new, but I've got to remember that when things end, like they did when I went to New York, there's all these discoveries I make. And as long as I keep taking the biltong, as long as I relate to Michael the Avenger, as long as I relate to that New York period of time, I know that I've got the courage to pick from a huge variety of possibilities in the future for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and that's when you got on the cargo plane. So, you know, I usually spend like an hour and a half with a person with a dream, but we've just zipped in and out of bits of it.
That's fine.
Where do you, what kind of stands out for you from that?
The cargo plane, it just felt, I still remember the feeling that it was really normal. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's coffins. Oh, yeah, there's people. It's a massive cargo plane, but I wasn't – it felt like I was meant to be there.
Yeah. So it's
It didn't feel discombobulating. It didn't feel confusing. I was going, why are there coffins here? But I'm like, oh, it has to be transported. I'm like, okay.
I love it. So the end, by the end of your dream, you're kind of convinced that, yeah, I'm moving along. This is actually quite normal. You know, letting go of things and bringing new things is normal. There's the one woman sitting waiting to die. That's one last aspect of yourself. Like, yeah, I know. You've got to go now, honey. Honey, you've got to go now, honey.
Yeah, exactly.
Does it relate to what was going on for you at the time of the dream?
I think so. I think the whole of this year has been this way. It's been parts of me needing to let go, parts of me that I'm discovering, stepping and up-leveling myself in business, in who I am.
Yeah.
So there's the, it's very symbolic of this year.
Yes, that's really lovely. Yeah. And if we'd caught it at the time, we could have done some alchemy with it and, you know, hurried along a few things, which would have been good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if ever you want to bring back some of the flavour of the dream, I'd just go and buy, you know, some of your favourite honey, buy some biltong, make yourself a picnic, remind yourself of your courage. They go really well together, don't they?
Honey and biltong, okay. Always on the picnic list, okay. Yeah.
Look, I know I want to find out more about your work and everything as well. And I know that some of your clients, you work with dreams as well. So we're going to get there. But first of all, how did you, we've had a little glimpse into the fact that you worked for a personal development company in the past. Mm-hmm. Give us a bit of an idea about how you got to along the route to become an EFT. And for people not listening, maybe describe what, and not people listening who don't know
what EFT is. So EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. So as the name points to, it's about having emotional freedom. And it's a modality that's somatic, so body-based, and it touches on acupressure points, so utilises meridian points. The technical term for it is it's a primovascular system. Yeah. And as you're tapping on the acupressure points, it sends an electrical signal to the amygdala to calm. And at the same time, we're talking about what's triggering you. That's based on cognitive behavioral therapy and exposure therapy. So we're tapping on these meridian points and we're talking about and bringing up on purpose what's blocking you, what the entrenched patterns are, how come you're stuck, how come you're, you know, at this point in your life and you're still doing this and you don't know how to shift it. So I work with people on all sorts of issues that surround energetic blocks. So it could be visibility issues in their business. It could be, you know, how come I can't raise my price without me feeling like, you know, I'm about to die. Or I do work with children on, you know, sleep anxieties, or they're like scared of germs, or teens on school refusal or exam stress. And adults, it could be emotional eating like chocolate,
yeah,
or drinking, or emotional spending. So anything really with a well-being and anchor in an emotion.
Yes.
And often you don't know that it's anchored in an emotion or a trauma or an anxiety. How it shows up in life is, I'm still stuck. I can't believe it. I've had, you know, multiple people. I worked overseas, I worked over here. The same manager turns up. The same types of colleagues turn up. The projects go the same way. I don't know how come it's the same. And it's familiar.
Yeah.
But that's what I deal with. Yeah, I deal to release those.
That's lovely. And is it a one session releases everything, or is it a series of sessions that people come to for?
It's a series of sessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, miracles do happen. I don't guarantee miracles, but they do happen. Like I shifted a five-year-old child's bottle. Well, she had to have a bottle of milk every single day. It was driving her parents crazy. But I did even a tap on the bottle and it shifted in one session.
Wonderful.
So miracles like that do turn up.
Yes, yeah.
But it is a series of sessions because you've had decades of being this way.
Yeah.
And if I were to shift it in one session, I'll be charging the tens of thousands.
Yeah. <In it. laughs> There's your life change. It's worth tens of thousands. Do it now.
Yes.
But yes. Just, I want to hear more about the case histories, but just take a little back step first. Thank you for describing it. That was really good. How did you get into it? What led from the corporate world?
Yeah. The trip to New York? How I found out about EFT was at the Personal Development Company.
Right. Okay.
So the person, and she's still there as a trainer in EFT, came through the Personal Development Company and did their courses there. And I was working it there at that time and got to know her, got to know what EFT was. And I did a few sessions. I was, you know, like a case study student for one of the students going through the certification, things like that. So I've known and dabbled in EFT for maybe 15 years prior to me certifying.
Yes.
In it. So I've already known it, and I already knew the trainer that was training in EFT.
Yeah.
And it was just for me to jump from the strategic pipeline of dealing with, at that time I was working in a financial institution in budgets, household budgeting, and it didn't work for me that people were so stuck on their emotions with regards to money. And I could talk to the emotions because of my personal development background. So I shifted. I shifted across from the strategic pipeline to the emotional pipeline.
Beautiful.
And I knew EFT was the emotional pipeline I was looking at. So yes. I certified in it.
Brilliant. And how long ago was that you got that certification?
That was 2019.
19. And did you open business straight away, or were you doing two things at once before?
Yeah, I pretty much opened business straight away. By that time, I was just working part-time, so I could shift across and do business. And then COVID happened in 2020, and that's when the floodgates opened up. Because everybody had to sit still and be with themselves. Like, how tragic. And that's when the anxieties and stresses turn up, right?
Yes.
That's when the stuff that you turn up in the relationships and, you know, with yourself, and the threat is imminent and in the environment at that time. So, of course, it dries up stressors and trauma for yourself that's actually hidden.
Yes.
So thank God for COVID.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's really brought the coalface of well-being and mental health issues to the forefront very quickly.
Yeah. Now, for people listening, you were in Melbourne, Faye, and for people that don't know around the world, Melbourne had, I think, the longest lockdowns anywhere
in the world.
Yeah. Give us a little update on that so they can put this in context.
So we were locked down initially for the 6 weeks. And I still remember I held a tapping workshop on the day they cancelled the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Right? So that will jog people's memories because the Grand Prix got cancelled in Melbourne. And on the first day, like, they just pulled it. And so we were locked down for 6 weeks. And then in 2020 through up until the end of 2020, we had sporadic lockdowns, 2 weeks here, 5 days there, whatever it was. And then in 2021, we had at the longest lockdown, which was the equivalent of 2 school terms.
Yeah.
Because I had, you know, my son was little then, so we had him at home. You know, everybody had their kids at home trying to sort of do some sort of schooling at home. You know, the parents had to deal with themselves.
Yes.
In the house. Life didn't change for my husband and myself because we were both already working from home.
Yes, yes.
But the only addition was having our son at home with us.
Yeah.
So that was the jungle for us. But, yeah, for lots of people, it brought up a lot of stuff because, you know, here you are dealing with everyday life but at home.
And is that when you probably, like me, went into Zoom, did Zoom consultations during
COVID?
Yes,
I had to pivot onto Zoom that time.
Yeah.
Because prior to that I did do both in person and on Zoom. And then so I fully pivoted onto Zoom and I've stayed here since.
That's brilliant. So EFT works beautifully over Zoom.
100%. Yes. I think it works better.
Because,
well, firstly, there is the detachment of the screen. So I'm not physically where you are. You don't need to adjust yourself if you come into my office to the new surroundings, the new smells, the new everything else. And then dealing with whatever comes up for you for me to be physically witnessing it. In other words, you're crying, you're a blubbering mess, you know, and then all of a sudden the surrounding isn't your home, so you don't feel safe. So I, as the practitioner, don't need to facilitate that.
Yes.
We can go straight into the session when you're in Zoom. Our energy fields still converge because most of the time I feel what the clients are feeling.
Yeah.
And especially with kids, they are in their own safe space. There's still the detachment of the screen, and it's easier to share with the screen than it is with a real person right in front of you.
That is amazing, isn't it?
So I find online sessions, especially when the rubber hits the road, fast and raw and vulnerable and intimate and very connected.
Yeah, beautifully described. That. So you do most of your work. Do you all of your work on Zoom now?
All of my one-on-one sessions are all online.
Yeah.
All online. And sometimes I do tapping workshops that are in person.
Yeah.
And they're the only things I do in person. Or speaking engagements that are in person.
Yes, it gives you that that buzz of actually, you know, being in the same room as other people as well.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, you've mentioned that some of the things that you work with people in general, and you've also mentioned that you sometimes people's dreams come into their consultations. So, would you like to give us an example of how you work with EFT with dreams?
Yeah. So, I had this client come to me. And she had this horrific recurring nightmare to the point where she was really, really scared to go to sleep because the nightmare would just occur again and again. And it's the type of nightmare where she knows she's in the dream but she can't wake herself up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a sense of being stuck and trapped.
Yeah.
And so we were tapping about that, and she was really scared to go into the dream to tell me about the dream. And so there's techniques inside EFT when you're tapping with a practitioner that we use to gently process something that's traumatic,
mm-hmm.
right? So I wouldn't advise that she go process it herself or anything traumatic for that matter. It's because I was holding the space for her whilst still getting from her what was happening in the dream, how petrified she was, you know, what the next scene was, and then what the next scene was, yeah. and what the next scene was, right? So we tapped about it, and the dream was pertaining to her family. The main character in that dream is her mum, and which she's been estranged from for about 4, 5, 6 years at that time, okay? But it was a very scary nightmare.
Yeah.
So finished tapping, tears, the lot, right? So completed that for her and then just said, take the day gently, lots of water, lots of herbal teas, nourish yourself, you know, and then see how you go. So a couple of days go by and she texts me and she goes, you wouldn't believe it. I'm like, what? She goes, my mum reached out via text. This is like, haven't heard from her for 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Via text and said, and I invited me to a family member's celebration.
Brilliant.
And she was beside herself. She actually had a panic attack when she received a text message, right? Because first it was so unexpected, out of the blue, and we just had processed her nightmare.
Yes, yes.
In which her mum was the main character. Right. And then here she is 4 days later, the mum reaching out in real life. So she obviously attributes it to the tapping.
Yes.
Because the tapping must have shifted something energetically that then Earth follows.
Yes. Yeah.
And creates the reality. Right. Yeah. It's beautiful like that.
And did she go to the event?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, and it all went. And did the nightmare stop as well?
Yeah, nightmares dissipated. It
stopped. Fantastic.
Yeah.
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 That's a miracle session. That goes in your miracle session box.
Yes, it does. It does. I just never know when the miracles are going to turn up or what's going to happen or transpire inside the session.
Yeah.
Yeah, and neither would you. Like you're doing a tapping session with me, you have no idea what's going to come up.
Yeah, that's right. When I do dreams, I just turn up.
Yes, exactly.
We see what happens next.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you often ask your clients about their dreams, or it's just if they bring it up?
Just if they bring it up.
Yeah.
If they bring it up. It's inside the debrief at the start, just going, how are you going? How was the last session? Did anything transpire? Any subtle shifts? And we're usually tapping on specific topics, but more often than not, in the conversation, they'll go, I had this really weird dream and I can't shake it.
Yes.
And that's already a sign to me to go, all right, we're tapping about the dream.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like when we were talking about your dream and you brought up, I think it was New York or something, and I said to you, well, that often happens that we're talking about the dream, so we're actually in the area of the unconscious mind, so the unconscious will join in and offer up things. Yes, so I guess you're doing the same. You're tapping, getting them ready, getting them in that unconscious framework, and then they'll say, oh, yeah, well, this dream. So it's only mentioned because it is, you know, it's relevant, because otherwise they wouldn't have mentioned the dream.
Exactly. Yeah, just like they might remember, I've had tapping sessions where I'll stop the client, I'll go, is anything coming up for you? Like you're present to anything, any visuals, any intuitive words, any thoughts, any sensation in your body? And I remember once this lady went, my grade 2 music teacher's coming up. I don't know why. It's got no relevance to whatever we were tapping about. And most normal people in their daily lives would just dismiss that random thought.
Yes.
But when we're inside a tapping session, we're actually asking the subconscious and the unconscious and the body to bring it up.
Yes.
So it's giving us the breadcrumbs to follow. Yeah. And so her saying, okay, I'm just going to say this, it sounds weird, but my grade two music teacher's coming up. I'm like, okay, let's follow that thread.
And you did.
And so we do. And I'll go, give me the scene, what's happening in it, what are you doing, what you're not doing, da da da. And then it goes all daisy chain to something else, and then daisy chain to something else, and then bang, it hits.
Yeah, wonderful working with the unconscious mind. You know, I even find that just sometimes I might be just walking along the road or doing something where I'm just connected with nature, you know, not listening to anything, not watching anything, just in a blank space. And that kind of thing will happen to me, you know, something from the past or some small thing or weird thing that you think, I haven't remembered that for 40 years or whatever it is. And so you think, okay, so that came from somewhere, because I'm actually just walking along pretty much in touch with my unconscious rather than doing lists for the day or plans or working or anything. So therefore that's important. It's relevant to what's happening to me now. So I will follow that breadcrumb. And pretty soon you go, oh yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Oh yes, got that. So I think it's always worth following these little things. My mum used to say, what was it she used to say? I think it was quite an English thing that if you were going along during the day and something happened and you suddenly thought, oh, I've just remembered my dream last night, she would say that is called breaking the dream. We'd never talked about dreams outside of that. I didn't get my dream stuff from her, but it was an English thing. You'd say, oh, I've just broken. Oh my, that's what you said's just broken my dream. But you would just kind of laugh it off. But now I know it differently. I know it's that something happened that actually was relevant to the dynamics of your dream, and it's reconnected you with the dream. And sometimes it works. It worked when we were little, that you actually woke up with no dream recall, but then something would break your dream and you'd remember the dream.
Yes.
And so it's that feeling that. Stop in that waking life situation. What just happened there? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? What was going on the moment before that broke your dream? Because that's relevant too, and put it together. Right. So I love the idea of following the breadcrumbs of what comes up. And, you know, what you're saying and what I'm saying, I guess, too, is so important for people listening in to know that you've got to give yourself that space and time to not be thinking about other things, doing other things, to have these moments of quiet and openness to allow to allow your unconscious mind to go, breadcrumb, breadcrumb, you need this breadcrumb, follow this, follow
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess when, like, inside a session, because you're going into quite a meditative state.
Yes.
You're conscious, as in you're participating in the session, you're doing the tapping on yourself and you're repeating after me, I'm doing the scripting for you, we're having the conversation, it's flowing, but then it's in the occurring, right? What occurs inside your subconscious and in your unconscious and your body is very different, because it's a different space of meditating. It's like an open-eye conscious meditation.
Yes.
And then things pop up. And memories, I've always had people go, wow, I can't believe I remember that.
That's right. It's always a big clue.
It's a relevant memory to what we're tapping on. And always. So by the end of the session, once we've dissected, unfurled, unraveled the specific anchor in the memory, then we look backwards from the end of the session to the front of the session and go, now it's linear. Like from the other side, from the front, you have no idea where it's going to go. But at the tail end of the session, you look backwards, you go, no wonder I got those memories. It's literally like, you know, the choose your own adventure book. But it's not choosing your own. The subconscious is telling you your adventure through this.
I really love that, because I think, you know, there's a lot of for people that don't know, and that included me until we're really talking today, you think of EFT as a kind of passive process, because you've seen pictures of people doing the tapping and listening, and you think, oh, well, it's going to be like acupuncture, it's going to work, you don't have to participate. But I love what you've described, that it's actually so much more than that, or the way that you conduct it is so much more than that, because you're using it as an avenue to open to their unconscious mind and have those conversations. And then you're also adding the slightly more analytical necessary thing at the end of helping them put it all together. So when they leave you, they've got a picture. Yeah. That was my block. She didn't just remove it. Faye didn't just remove it. She explained it to me. I now understand where that block came from, why I've carried it. I can look back through my life and I can see. So similar to dream work. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, 100%. Like when people see tapping online and how it's being sold by certain organisations and people out there, is that tapping is free and miraculous.
Yeah.
It is free. It is really effective with self-regulation in the moment. Like if you're heightened about something, you need to calm yourself down, you do some self-tapping, it'll bring you down a few notches. You continue doing, continue with your day.
Yes.
Bob's your uncle. So it's great for that. But the miracles don't come from free self-tapping.
Yeah.
Because your subconscious brain fires off at 20 million bits of information per second. There's no way you can defeat your brain in unhooking your own trauma, by the way, and then going, miracles, because if that's the case, there won't be a need for psychotherapy, there won't be a need for kinesiology or hypnotherapy or CBT or exposure therapy, blah, 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 blah. Nothing will work because you just get this for free miracles up all the time. So, there's a difference between the self-regulation and then the transformative part,
the
of
transformative
being held
part.
And facilitated by a very trained person in this craft.
Yeah.
Because we don't know whether, we don't know what sort of trauma is going to turn up inside the session.
Yes.
You have no idea. And then all of a sudden you're in a flood of tears and you're actually in the memory, what we call a trauma capsule, and I have to then be very on to make sure that you're not re-anchoring deeper what's been happening, and that you're grounded and that you're feeling safe and that you're held to process.
Yes. And you take
so
them
you don't
that.
Know that that's going to turn up.
Yeah.
And if you're doing self-tapping and if that turns up, this is say you happen to tap and your brain works in miraculous ways and gives you that memory, how are you going to get yourself out of the hole?
Yes. I love what you're saying there, because you're essentially saying that, yes, your modality is EFT, but your delivery and your magic is the transformation process and being there in the holding space, which it kind of reminds me of my work, that particularly say this year, because of AI, a lot of people that haven't experienced what I do will just of course go to AI. Oh, I had this dream, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. And AI will come up with something that makes them feel good, usually.
Yes.
And they go, that's good, don't have to do anything with that. Even though what AI comes up with is probably totally unrelated to anything that I or another dream professional would come up with.
Correct.
And they go through this process of, I have a dream, I put it into AI, they tell me what it means, and I go, that's interesting. And then the next time I have a dream, I put it into AI, blah, 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 blah. But, the work, the transformation happens in the one-on-one with a person, with you or with me. And so for me, that's, we explore the dream more deeply than I did with you because we did it in public. And then we look at what's actually happening in life. We look at the transformations that the person might need. I bring in processes called dream alchemy, which no AI could ever do.
No,
and,
exactly.
And I'm there to hold the space. So I'm just smiling because it reminds me of the same kind of feeling of the public image can be EFT is just tapping, I can get any old YouTube video to show me what to do and I'll be fine, I don't need to speak to anyone. Or dream interpretation, it's wonderful because you don't have to pay for it, you just go to AI. But that is actually not, that's just like step one in what we both do. Step two is where the transformation really happens, and that needs a person.
Yes, it's the nervous system co-regulation. It's the fact that I can even as a practitioner, a lot of people, stuff comes up for us inside the tapping session.
Yeah.
And you need to be trained so well to quickly put it aside so that you can be present for the,
yes,
for the client. There's all those things that we have to hold space for ourselves, and in order to hold space for you as such,
yes,
for that to actually transpire, especially like I've heard, you know, tapping through childhood sexual abuse stories. And I've had all sorts of things, and, you know, through COVID I've tapped with people that didn't want to get the vaccination but had to give up their dream job, really.
Oh,
and,
yes,
you know, the devastation they felt, and I had to hold space for them whilst they were purging and crying through that.
Yeah.
So it's the emotional freedom they get from, okay, I've got to walk through the gauntlet, and whatever gauntlet that is in your life, it could be a divorce, it could be, you know, quitting a job, it could be you got made redundant, whatever it is, it's, you know, I've got to hold that for their humanity,
yes,
whilst they process it. And AI, well, of course can't do that. I mean, people know that. And, you know, as much as you can even ask AI to throw you out a tapping script, which I've done myself, just
to see what happens.
Going, yes, all right, I'm going to give it so much information because I know what I pitch for.
Yeah.
And I've just chucked it into AI and it spat out this incredible script. But that's all it was.
Yes. It right? then needed a human to take it from
yeah,
there.
But yeah. AI don't go, then what's this sensation? And what's that memory?
Yeah.
And your face changed at that time and your eyes darted up left and it's like, what were you seeing then? Or it darted this way. It's like, oh, are you hearing something? Like, they can't catch those nuances,
yes,
that only another human being can catch.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah. Beautifully, beautifully described. How do you communicate that in your, probably too big a question to answer. How do you communicate the depth of what you do in your marketing, you know, attracting new clients? Because how do you get that across when the, as we've described, the kind of common, the common feeling about EFT is something completely different?
I'll share snippets and recordings like this.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's always the conversations that I'll share snippets of. And, you know, I get lots of different types of testimonials from clients.
Yeah.
So be it a written testimonial or a video testimonial. With children clients, I ask them to draw me a picture.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Of their before and after of what tapping's like for them.
Yes.
And, you know, a picture is a thousand words, especially if it's a children's picture on tapping. Like there was one where it was like before tapping, it was a bed with mummy and daddy and her in the middle. And so she was up until eight, she was still sleeping with mum and dad. And that was driving them like crazy. And then she drew an arrow to tapping in the middle and then bed by herself.
Oh, beautiful.
Right. And so that really, if I'm marketing, I can't market to kids, I'm marketing to the parents, right?
Yeah.
That speaks to parents. Parents look at that and go, oh, okay, there's something here.
You know what's also making me smile here as well as listening to the lovely story and what you do, is that you had the gallery of pictures in your dream.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
And associated with the biltong, the sustenance. So there's something uh-huh. there also in maybe, you know, it wasn't what the dream was about, but we can borrow that imagery from the dream and say, yes, there is something about putting pictures out there. And
oh, right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Often the kids or the ones that hop on Zoom online with me, there's one particular child and she's neurodivergent, and I know it takes about 5 minutes for her to even settle down to even start chatting with me. So she starts drawing. And she drew a rainbow, she starts patterns, all on Zoom, on the whiteboard. And I'm like, oh, you can do that. Like, she's teaching me stuff. So she starts drawing, and then I'll sense and I'll know when she's ready to start talking.
Beautiful.
And tapping. And I'll go, all right, now, let's start tapping. And she goes, okay. And she just, like, takes the whiteboard away and we start tapping.
That's really lovely.
So,
yeah, I talk to, I do children if a parent is present. And one that I recently did without giving away any confidences. She came and she came car on Zoom and she came carrying a book and showed me the book. So we probably spent the first 10 minutes just talking about the book and the story and talking about the pictures in it. And
Yes, beautiful.
then she closed the book and put it to one side. And I said, "Mum said you've had a dream that you won't tell her about, but it's worrying you. Would you? What worried you about it?" And then she just came, "Oh no, I actually want to tell you about the whole dream, and here it is." So I like that, and it was a picture book. So I like that idea of connecting with kids or anyone sometimes through, well, pictures or stories.
Yes, beautiful.
How can people find you? Because there's, you've now been talking to people all over the world about what you do. How do they find
Yes.
you?
Well, the best way to find me is either Google Living Well with Faye. So I've got a Google business profile. Or on Instagram, is the same handle, Living Well with Faye, and Facebook as well. I still do not have a website.
Oh, as a pause, all those links will be in the show notes, so you can go there.
Yeah.
Why don't you have a website? Is it something you're
I
not going to
still
do?
don't. I just haven't got around to it. And people still find me on social media. They still do referrals. They still reach out. And I've sustained the business this way. So, I'm a firm believer. Actually, the lady I'm talking about in the dream, the analytical client, how she found, she never followed any of my pages, none. But my page kept on coming up for her on social media. And then one day she went, "Oh, I wonder where's that Faye lady that keeps popping up?" And then the next day it popped up.
So she got the
And so
message.
she got, so she's not a follower. It just kept on, the algorithm did that. And then thought about me. The next day it turns up, she reaches out, she taps with me, and she's been the client for the last 6 years.
That's wonderful.
Right? And she actually said, she goes, "I think God put you in front of me."
Well, sounds like she might be right.
Energetically, it turned up in front of her. And I've had several clients reach out that way from one post or one comment or one, whatever it is, it's like bang, they're there.
That's really lovely.
And it's different because I'll hop on the phone with them. They get to sense what I'm like. Everybody goes on social media and get a sense of who you are. Right. And so they're on social media and they're like, "Oh, I like her style. I like her. These are the testimonials and blah, 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 blah." And I get on the phone with them and I have this chat with them, and then they go, "Okay.
You're done.
Yep.
That's beautiful. So it works for you.
Yeah.
Nothing changing there.
Uh-oh.
Other changes, which I won't ask you about, which were in the dream, because we're being listened to by all these people. But no,
Yes,
don't need to
yes,
change
yes.
that
No. So my husband set up a Squarespace one for me, and I haven't even gone into it to put my stuff up. I
Well,
just haven't.
Faye, you can put pictures. There are galleries on websites. You can put pictures in there, can add to your biltong.
I love honey though, but I am working, like when you're talking about the honey and how it's, I brought up the source of life. It really is, like, my work is the nectar of my life now. It really is so fulfilling, right? Like, I've got fulfillment in droves, in terms of the difference that it makes to clients and the miracles that turn up in their lives and the shifts. It is miraculous. And to be able to facilitate that and be the agent that unfurls it for them. This is it for me.
You've got the nectar of life that in what you give to other people and also in what it gives to you. So that's the
Yes,
magical combination.
really
Everybody
is.
benefits.
Yeah, I've hit the jackpot, really. They're like the pot of gold.
The pot of gold, there you go, the 5 kilogram pot of gold. I never asked you in the dream why it was 5 kilograms, because I know there'll be people listening and saying, "Why didn't you ask her why it's 5 kilograms?" Because sometimes when a number comes up, it can refer to something like 5 years ago or 5 months ago or when your son was
Oh.
five. We'd sort of explore all those things. I just sort of thought, well, that's probably a nice size kind of honeypot that you'd get in a dream. I'm just going to get a big one, so we'll make it a
It's
5 kilogram
big. Five
one.
kilograms is one.
But
you might heavy too.
You might. Oh, it's heavy. So you know, you might later want to play around with what five might represent in the dream, and
right.
the heaviness could also. Might also be worth playing around with and thinking about, was it heavy a burden? Was it heavy and substantial? You know, have a little play around with some of those thoughts
right.
as well.
Okay.
But for today, that's, you know, we're going to have to wrap because I know you've got to go somewhere else.
Yes.
it was really lovely getting to know you and to find out so much more about EFT and the way that you work with your clients. And I know that there'll be a lot of listeners following up and having a look and hopefully booking some sessions with you as well. So thank you.
thank
you.
Thank you
for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been a great podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Faye. Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to reach out to Faye, you'll find the links in the show notes. Her Instagram handle is at livingwellwithfaye, or one word. Now, have you done any of my courses yet? You can start right to now, today, with my first course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. And you can do this by signing up at my website, janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H, and the link is in the show notes. And that's also where you can find out about how I can help you with your dreams in so much more depth than we do with my guests on The Dream Show. Or you can buy my books or do my other courses. So that's janeteresa.com. Thank you, as always, to Ewan Gray for sound editing, video editing, and composing our lovely theme music. And thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. Until next time, have a beautiful day. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.